River City Church, we, you know, Keith Lape, you've helped them over a lot of years. And so one of the things, are you glad to be here this morning? Say amen. Amen. Has good God been good to you this morning? Say amen. Amen. And so I'm not a preacher. I'm more of a preacher-teacher, and I like to have fun. And so if I get overboard, my wife will tell me I'm overboard, which is okay. But our class this morning talked about being worried, and now I'm worried because I'm up here. And so, but I'm so laid back, they tell me if I get any more laid back, I'll be dead. So sometimes I worry because I don't worry. Seriously. I mean, I'm concerned, but the idea is what has God gifted you with? And so what I'd like to do this morning, first of all, say thank you for your support, and both financially and prayers over the years. Some of you may have never met us before, and so we just are thankful for being able to be supported by you and others. We used a term when we were in the Philippines: we'll go down the well if you'll hold the rope. In other words, financially. So we tell people, please don't let go of the rope. Some would rather leave us in the well, but we'll get into that. But anyways, and so what I'll do is I've got kind of where we're going, and I got a couple of little videos I'd like to share. And one thing that I haven't had for a long time is a watch. And so I've asked Roger, somebody, when I get down to 5 minutes, if I just need a 5 minute warning so that I know that I can let you out before 2 o'clock. Is that all right? Okay, good. Because God's just been so good to all of us. And as I was sharing with Roger or Carrie a minute ago, is that I grew up in Pennsylvania with a very, very poor self-image. But by God's grace, in the end, we get to do a lot of things that do cause anxiety, but by God's grace, we continue to walk through it. So I'll just kind of go through this. Part of the reason I have slides is because I'll get off track, but I do want to kind of focus because there are things that we want to talk about. So I'm going to talk a little more of our history, kind of where we came from, and then we're going to just look at a couple pictures of River City Church and then of churches in the Philippines. And the reason for those slides, I'll get to in a minute. And so the Filipino churches that God's blessed us to be with, we'll look at those just for a minute, because we feel very thankful to be able to be in a foreign country, because we've learned a lot. I use a lot of things that we've learned from the Filipino culture. And when we went from South Little Rock to North Little Rock, we traveled that for the year of 05. And then in 06, moved there. We moved, well, I'm getting ahead of my story. But we're just thankful that we can, things I've learned in the Philippines, I'll bring in more, helped us to live in the inner city. Because Metro Manila grew from 8 to 15 million while we were there. And it's a city that moves. You can't leave anything outside your door or your gate because it will walk. Everything has legs, sometimes even when it's tied down. Guess what? In North Little Rock and inner city, after 15 times of calling the police, I've lost this and been broke into 3 times. I just don't call them anymore unless it really involves neighbors. And again, things I'll share, I want you to know it's only by God's grace that we get to do what we got. It's not about us. It's all about God. And then there's a little song that the a cappella kids sing that I want to leave you kind of be thinking about if you haven't heard it. Hopefully it will remind you of what you've been part of, is that you have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren all over the world that you may not know until we get to heaven. And so that's why I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on, even when times get tough. Okay, so it's already been mentioned about some of our history. Our two older daughters got married, and so Here's what I didn't tell you, Roger. Our oldest grandson is 30. He married, and his wife had a son who was 15 and or 10. Now they're 15, and they just had their first baby. He's a year old. And so I have a 30-year-old, 28-year-old, soon to be 21, a 10-year-old, and a 4-year-old grandkids. Okay, now before you start trying to do the math, my daughter did foster to adopt. And the last two younger ones, they got from a couple days old to and raised them from them, and so it's been quite a challenge. And so Hazel is the youngest granddaughter, and Stokely, and both biracial, both drug babies, just lots of challenges. But so that's why there's such a gap. And so after the last one, my daughter said, "I'm done. I cannot do this foster to adopt anymore." I forget how many children over the 10 or 12 years that she did that. And so we're really proud of her and get to be able to do that. And so, and again, originally from the Northeast, so we're Yankees, so hopefully you won't hold that against us too long. But because by God's grace, we did get to go to Sunset School of Preaching, went to their two-year program and then 6 months missions program, and there felt called to go to the Philippines for various reasons. So our first trip to the Philippines, we did a survey trip in 1982 and toured part of Asia for a month. The Professor Richard Rogers wanted us to see what Asia was about. And so we already knew we was going to the Philippines. At one time, our team was 26 people. There was that Sunset at different various stages, and out of the 26, six of us made it. So it's a challenge, but we were glad to be there for that time. And then we moved back in 83, and every 2 years we come home on furlough, and which is visiting family and friends and churches. At one time we had 21 churches and 21 individuals to help us in our support. And to show you how giftedness works, the other two missionaries was with us then. They were from Texas, got their support, got their sponsorship right away. It took us months to get our sponsorship. Our first sponsor was in name only. It was in Pueblo, Colorado. And so we worked and worked, and they got to the mission field, and we were still trying to get there. So when we got there, they said two thoughts. One, if God had worked on them, and it took them as long as it did us, they would say, God was saying, don't come. Deanna and I said, well, God was saying, because it took us too long, because we drove from Pueblo, Colorado, down this way up to Pennsylvania three times, 20,000 miles in a 1984 Ford Falcon to try and raise money to go to the Philippines. And we said, do you really want to go? Do you really want to sacrifice? To the point our oldest daughter said, Mom, is the back seat my new bedroom? And so, but again, we made it, and time there, church is established, and we'll look at that in a minute. But that helped prepare us to do a lot of things. So don't get discouraged where you are, what God's working on, because God's going to use you. You just have to surrender. And we've helped other ones get to the mission field. And then when we come back in 2000, Sandstone Drive Church of Christ in Southwest helped in our support. So we wanted to learn from Clary Wellburn how to flip houses. You know what a vocational missionary is? You can talk to me. It's okay. It's a guy that does full-time work on a job and does mission work. But he had over, I forget how many houses, 150 houses for rent. We wanted to do that, but we talked to his manager, and so we had a difference of opinion and purpose, how they took care of houses and how we would, so we didn't do that. But we bought a laundromat business and renovated it. Because out of 26 washing machines, only six was working, and out of 19 dryers, three was working. By God's grace, I went to Home Depot, went to class, how to lay ceramic tile, and then laid 1,300 square foot of tile. Only 300 a day is all we could do. But out of that, we had a mission statement. You know what a mission statement is. For a laundromat, again, using your giftedness, is we wanted a clean, friendly, safe environment where everyone is welcome. And so we had all kind of people come in. We had people that wanted us to do their wedding at the laundromat. I said, I'm sorry, I don't have a license. I can't do that. They wanted us to start the laundromat church because we're reaching people that most folks don't want to talk to. And people would come in, and I would learn working on washers and dryers, and they would come in, and I would go to their house, fix their washing machine or dryer, and the rest of the folks would say, why would you do that? Then they won't come here no more to the laundromat. And I said, well, they came here once because they needed it. And guess what happens when it breaks again? Where are they going to go? And they had come back. So I just worked on washers and dryers. Here's a little funny story. How much time do I have? Does anybody know? Okay, well, never mind. Just throw the watch out. So I learned from another guy about washers and dryers. And how many of you ladies, when you go to do socks, or men, you lose socks? You only have one. Did you know washer machines can eat socks? What happens, they go out of one tub into the other. And so I went to this house, and the water wouldn't drain. And I said, well, there's probably a sock in the water pump. I took it all apart, pull the sock out. And so the couple said, could you see in there? And I said, I really come close. Yeah, I can. No. I said, no, I can't. I was just taught that. Put it all back together and it worked. So using the giftedness of where you are, what you're doing, I probably do as much or more ministry outside, working on washing machines, cars, you name it, I get to do that. And so the laundromat was our place for those 5 years. Our two daughters, Anel and Alicia, our youngest two that were born in the Philippines, they had two Coke machines outside, and that was their responsibility. They would also help watch the kids. We had a corner that, as one of our customers gave me the spools off of wire, about this big around. The kids colored it bright colors and then put felt legs on it, and they got the little ones. We had a kids' corner, had VeggieTales. So while our kids was watching the kids, we would be ministering to the adults. The end did ironing. And so she had on her ironing board, on one end our iron, the other end the Bible. People come in and tell us their whole life story. And it's, I don't know why I told you. So because we had a clean, safe, friendly environment. And that's why when we go about, especially in the inner city, there's so many people that are related to so many other people. I don't know whether I'm talking to Aunt Sally, Uncle George, or who it is. So if we just are Christ's ambassadors, no matter where we are, it doesn't matter. You just serve where you work. And so, and then 05, again, we've been in North Little Rock. There's been so much that the Lord's blessed us with. And so let me just get into some of these. So my major responsibility was preaching, teaching, and building maintenance. Because, again, I work with my hands. And so we started out at a place called Hemlock Court in Boys and Girls Club in Hemlock Court up the street from River City Ministry, where it all started. And then we moved from there to the big green gym up on 19th Street. We rented that for $1 a year. Another story, we'd have to set up every morning and then take everything down. And then I saw a sign on a little building on Curtis Sykes. And Mr. Sykes owned, have you ever heard of, what was that? Stinger Sam's Automotive was the building. So it's an old metal building, 5,000 square feet. He said, sir, we'll do this one of two ways. You can rent it for $150 a month, or I'll do whatever renovations you want, and then it will calculate it for 5 years, and you'll pay that rent. He said, I will just rent it for $150 a month. And over a course of time, we did lots of remodeling, put probably $60,000 to $70,000 in it, and then at the end of the 5 years, someone said we should purchase it, and we didn't have the money. I borrowed it, and then we went to pay it back. It got forgave. So River City Church owns the building by a donor. And so we was just able to reach out and do a lot with that. Then what Deanne and I started, two programs. One was Hope Works, and Hope Works is a Christ-centered, can I go backwards? There it is. Oh, good. I don't do these well. So, Hope Works, we ran about 8 years, and it's a Christ-centered personal career development program. Over 22,400 flyers that was passed out to different housings, and over 560 students come to class. We would do it four times a year. And so out of that, we have members still at River City Church that went through those programs years ago. Well, we had some of the ones that would come that was from under the bridge that were homeless. And so Hand Up Housing was born, a Christ-centered transitional housing program that I missed. That should be 12 years. And so we were up to seven. My responsibility was those seven houses, plus some of our own personal houses I didn't get into because we didn't have all of our support. We had bought and sold a few things to help us with our support. And so we had five of those houses were occupied, and there two were in the process of full renovation. And so about 115 individuals were housed, some of them up to 3 years, because they were connected with the church, and so we would give a lot more grace. I've got a gazillion stories I could tell you with that. Some are funny, some are sad. I've had some as long as 3 years. I've had some fall out within the first day and was kicked out in 3 days. And because we used to, if they would fall, meaning if they come in drunk or high, no women in the men's, no men in the women, so on. If any of those was violated, we used to kind of give them a little grace, stop doing it, because we found they would just keep repeating. And so, so by God's grace, again, we still have members of the church as a result that came through some of the housing. Bernadette was one. Did you know Bernadette worked on houses with us? And so we would have the clients help work on houses. And so while I was taking care of it, we had 80 males and 27 females, and different nationalities. So we had 27 Afro-Americans, 83 Caucasians, had two Native American Indians, and then three Hispanics, one Cuban, and one Latin American. So we didn't discriminate, and it was really helpful. So in preparation for us to retire, because last year we turned 70, both Deanna and I, and so Hand Up Housing was turned over to River City Ministry because a lot of the same supporters, they wanted to get more into housing. And so I said, yay, praise the Lord, here's a bag of keys, and pushed them over. And I'm not sure they knew all what they were getting. And so I resigned in September, and at the same time it transferred over to River City Ministry. And so now they've carried it on, and they're in the remodeling the last couple houses and what they're doing. And then here's something strange that I hadn't talked to very many people. I don't know the older ones in here. Have you ever heard of half retirement? And so the joke is I went to half retirement Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I was down to 40 hours a week. And so so January of 23, we began half-time, and so we did cut half of our support. Original sponsor was Levy Church of Christ, and then when we didn't have all our support, Pleasant Valley came on board, and they were our sponsor for about 10 years. And then when I went halftime, I dropped their support, and Levy picked us back up again, so we had everything was counted for. And so now, and so that's what we've been doing is halftime, and again, trying to help prepare the church for me being gone, because It's crazy. I mean, if you've never been in inner city, if you want something that's always changing, come down and visit. There are some people that don't want to come where we are because there are, I mean, just in the news not too long ago, two blocks from the building on Curtis Sykes, there was one fatality and three people got shot at the laundromat, which is only two blocks from where River City Church is. And so, again, you know, I was thinking about some of these things in our class about being anxious. I don't get paralysis from analysis. I don't try to analyze all what's going on around me. But I don't also stick my head out if you hear gunshots, because we have, you know, heard a lot of that. But it's only by God's grace that we got to do that. And you're part of that. So there's through all those programs and working at the church, there are people who will be in heaven because you've helped us and many others. And so then December of last year, we finally retired. For us, it's just a word so other people know that we're not there anymore full time. Because as Roger said, one of the things we wanted to do was go back to the Philippines. And so I'll share a little bit more of that. So we have not slowed down. Sometimes I said I have to go back to River City Ministry so I can slow down and get a rest. But that's beside the point. Oop, let me go back. Now, can we play this? This video is a video that one of our Hand Up Housing clients come in, has a scarlet letter of a story. I won't get into all of it. But his business is now Fresh Air Video, and so he actually has done several videos of our work for the inner city. And I don't know, will it play? There we go.
Hope Works is a Christ-centered personal career development program in which we were trying to get people off the street, and we had several of our folks coming that were homeless and needed a place to be housed. My wife and I actually had some houses and another couple, and so we started housing folks in order to have them be ready to come into class.
Many of the individuals we're working with are in crisis, and so our goal is to help them work through those things and to be able to become self-sufficient again.
We define progress as progressing as a whole person, head, heart, hands, in relationship to all of our fundamental relationships, God, self, others, and creation. We say we measure progress not in miles per hour, but in inches per year.
We work together and to provide medical care, dental care, some counseling and social work services and those kind of things.
End up housing people become our family. They worship with us. We walk alongside them. We mentor them. We try to provide safe, clean environments to help them make life changes.
There was only two options left, prison or death. God can work in anybody. If he worked in me, I feel that, you know, he can work on somebody else through this program.
I think the biggest change that we hope for is a dedication to Jesus Christ. And in that process, hopefully they begin to realize that they are created in God's image and they can live up to the potential that God has for them.
I just about lost hope. I feel that Hand Up Housing equipped me to be successful in life through spiritual guidance, studying the Word more.
As our Hand Up Housing individuals grow and progress, they are becoming not drains on society, but they are contributing productively to society.
Thank you. The gentleman that produced that for us, that rain that you saw, he actually was delivering pizza to Domino's Pizza and took that with the rain while he was driving. So that was a little scary. But since then, since leaving, he's gotten married. He's got all his rights back again. And they bought a house in Shannon Hills and doing really well. And so we're really proud of Randy. So, in the idea of giving thanks, I really like this verse that from Philippians. It says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all that you, all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, he that began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So we're just, again, thankful. Now, we're not done. Don't go to sleep yet. This is just getting close to the end. But the idea is that by God's grace, we've been partners for a long time. And again, I just thank you from the bottom of our heart, because you do have children in the faith all over River City area, North Little Rock, in parts of the world that you may never get to. And so as you continue to help others, just keep your focus on Jesus, as you can already do, and I just thank you for that. So River City Church, like all of the churches before pre-COVID, we were 80 to 100. And so during COVID, things got slowed down, and so this was just within the last year. And so again, there's Bernadette and several others that are still members. My most discouraging time during COVID, we were only five in the building, And I call it Keith Lape, set up a radio station in the back. Sorry, it's a lot more than what you guys got. I mean, we have three monitors two monitors, three cell phones doing video things and FaceTime and then Zoom. And I told Keith, I said, I drew the line in the sand. I said, listen, I'm done. I'm a tech, no geek. I don't do tech stuff. But that was kind of the discouraging time. We probably had two online. And I asked myself, Lord, do we really need to be here? What is it that you're doing? But by God's grace, we kept on keeping on, even when it got hard, and used our gift and just kept working and serving. And so now we're probably up to 40 to 50. We just talked to Christina, our youth director. She says we're back up to 30 kids for one person, and so from all the different grades. So just keep praying for River City Church. And so we have several. The couple you see there in the middle, Tracy and Angela Sanchez, worshiped with us online for a year and then placed membership online. And then after it was safe for her to come out and be among people, they've been worshiping with us since. So again, so there's some good things that have come out of COVID. So in my last presentation to the Levy Church, they asked me, well, Don, what are you going to do now? What would you like to do? And I said, well, that was December of last year later last year, that we would like to go back to the Philippines and visit some of the works. And so they helped us with the support, because it takes a lot to go, because we stayed 6 weeks. And so we got to visit churches. There's a Filipina lady that lives in Kansas City that we've kept in contact with over the years. And she'll tell people, what the spirits give me from another gentleman is if I think of your name, I'm going to call you, send you a text, or try to get a hold of you. So every once in a while, I'll call up and say, how are you doing in your spiritual life? That's just me. And so we've kept up with her with that. And so Deanne was invited to speak at a ladies' retreat that they've just started the last couple of years. And then a medical mission. Now, of course, Deanne and I aren't medical people, but we go as a spiritual component. And so we went down to the Philippines, 7,100 islands near the southern island of Mindanao. There's a little island called Siargao. So we got to help they had already done three medical missions. And so when we got there, we helped with the last one. In 2 days, they treated 430 patients. The last day, the electricity went out, so they're filling out stuff with flashlights. So, and this was a church that I was able to speak at. So I got to speak every Sunday and Wednesday, except one, while I was gone the 6 weeks. Then another church that we got to visit was, this is called Uptown Rizal Church of Christ. Antipolo is east of Metro Manila. And so that was when we went back in 1992, we began this church. And they're still there. Not all the churches are, but this one's still there. They've already reached out and they've established another church. And so we've got to be there. Something that changed in the Philippines, when we left in 2000, it was 80% public transportation, 20% private. And most all the people, the churches that we were with, did not even own their own car. Now it's 80% of the people have cars, only 20% transportation. And members of the church have their vehicles. And so they've bought this property. They're in the process of buying it. And so once they finish paying it off, then they'll save money and they'll put a building. Then the second church that we started, this is actually the third one, but in 1998. And so they've just celebrated, I think it's 25 years last year. And so we got to worship with them. This was just a handful of the folks that got together. And so I got to speak there and do different things, encourage the church that we were part of. And we got to visit with other members that we hadn't seen in 40 years. And so when we left the Philippines, what I didn't put in, but we left the Philippines, we stopped in Hong Kong because that's where Cathay Pacific goes. And one of the young couples that we mentored in the Philippines 30 years ago is doing ministry mission work in Hong Kong. And so they have part of the church as house helpers are one of the big things that's an export of the Philippines. And they had part of their church is 80 women who are house helpers. So he gets to do a lot of those and the part of the Chinese. So that was another part of the trip that was exciting. So here's another song by the A Cappella Kids. How many have heard this, the A Cappella Kids and the Thank You? Oh, get your hanky out. This, again, this is kind of how I look at what we, you and I, get to do. And we may not really realize who all that we get to touch. So if we could play that. Yeah, thank all the tech guys, too.
Upon the streets of gold, beside the crystal sea, we heard the angels singing. Someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said,
"Friend, you may not know me now."
And then he said,
"But wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day, when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. That was changed. Oh, thank you for giving to the Lord. 'Cause I am so glad you gave."
Then another one stood before you and said,
"Remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today.
Thank you, oh, for giving to the Lord. Somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, and heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry. But I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, "My child, look around you. Great is your reward. Thank you for giving to was changed. Oh, thank you.
I want to thank you
for giving to the Lord.
For giving to the Lord.
I am alive. That was changed.
My life was changed because of you.
Thank you.
Thank you
for giving to the Lord.
Okay, I got one slide, and I will, oh, is that too far? The reason I use this verse, and I'm going to leave this with you, is that we all have a message, and with your giftedness, think about this, is that He is not here, the angels told the women at the tomb, He is not here, He has risen, just as He said, come and see the place where He lay, then go quickly and tell His disciples, He has risen from the dead, He is going ahead of you into Galilee, there you will see Him, now I have told you. So the whole idea is if we really believe that Jesus Christ is alive and well, come and see. Get together, pray, and study His Word, and then go and tell others the great message that Jesus Christ is alive. And that's all we try to do is come alongside people and let them know Jesus is alive. Thank you again for listening. Thank you again for your support. And may God bless you as we continue to serve Him together.